To solve the scourge of the car, maybe we have to go back. Back to the future. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jack Stewart, in for Molly Wood. The future of cars is always exciting and always just around the corner. Things like self-driving cars have been 5 years away for, I'd say, about 40 years now. But there are times when pure imagination is exactly what's needed, when vehicles have to be as out there as possible. Nearly incredible cars are a big part of science fiction TV shows and movies. They're often characters themselves, and someone has to make them. I went to see some of the creations of writers, directors, and designers at a new exhibition at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles. It's called Hollywood Dream Machines, and there are cars from Mad Max, Blade Runner, and the classic Star Wars, amongst others. Brian Stevens is exhibitions director at the museum, and he started by explaining how a car designer works with a filmmaker.
In the use of vehicles in Hollywood productions, there are a number of scenarios, one of which is the need to design a car from scratch to fulfill the vision of the producers or the directors of the film. In many cases, though, there are pre-existing cars that do just that, and there's no need to design a car from scratch. And when it came time to create Back to the Future, it just so happened that this very exotic, wild, stainless steel-bodied car existed. In fact, was very much in the public eye due to some lawsuits at the time, which made it a perfect option for this particular use in this particular film.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
Now that we are up close, I can see there are a lot of wires, zip ties, you know, parts that look almost unfinished.
Crude, yes, which is deliberate. In this case, the producers and directors of the film didn't want something polished. They wanted something that looked like it was handmade in a garage.
So you worked with the designers of some of these cars to actually put this exhibit together. How important did they say it is to be accurate as opposed to just be entertaining when they're coming up with these visions of the future?
I think it's a combination of both. If you're projecting 50 years in the future, I think accuracy is going to be difficult to achieve, regardless of what you propose. But they certainly do want some level of realism. When you start getting into science fiction films, as opposed to pure fantasy films, you do want there to be an element of science basis. You want there to be something that seems even somewhat plausible about what you're predicting.
So you have Kit here, for example, from Knight Rider from, what, the 80s?
I am the voice of Knight Industry 2000's microprocessor, K-I-T-T for easy reference. A Kit, if you prefer.
Do you think a vehicle like that was fully autonomous long before most of us had heard of even, you know, the concept of self-driving cars? Are cars like that an inspiration to real engineers and real designers?
I think there's no question that when today's designers were children watching these television shows and these movies, that they are even potentially subconsciously gaining inspiration from what they see. And that's probably part of why we see some of the technologies that are shown in these vehicles eventually become real.
Brian Stevens taking us on a semi-nostalgic, semi-futuristic look at the cars of Hollywood at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles. Fun fact I learned from him, in the early drafts of the Back to the Future script, the time machine wasn't built into a car at all, it was built into a refrigerator. I'm not sure I would have enjoyed the movie quite as much. And now for some related links. Check out the exhibition website if you want some inspiration for movies to binge on this holiday. I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed some of them. The Audi RSQ concept from iRobot made me want to watch that all over again. And I will be streaming the original Blade Runner as well as 2049 to see that vision of Los Angeles with spinners in the dark and rainy skies. In terms of making these sci-fi visions come true, The Atlantic has a great story with the headline, "Flying cars are real, and they're not bad for the climate." It describes the efforts to build a new type of electric flying machine that isn't a plane and isn't a helicopter, but could fly building top to building top, skipping city traffic. And it's not just frustrated commuters who could benefit. As sea levels rise, coastal cities like Miami are going to have to go to ever greater lengths to mitigate the impacts of climate change. So we'll also link you to a Quartz story about developers in that Florida city who are already designing buildings where rooftop observation decks can be converted into flying taxi ports. If you didn't catch our recent Marketplace Tech series on climate change adaptation, by the way, it's called How We Survive, and the podcasts are online too. Where we're going, maybe we really won't need roads. I'm Jack Stewart, and that's today's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.